for a Friday morning, heading into a big hoops weekend. But it's also a big weekend, as it always is, at Gateway. And here with us, the car guru, Lenny Lawson. Good morning, Lenny.
Yep, Tennessee plays today, don't they, at 2?
They do. 2:30 today against Florida.
We may have to, all of the new TVs in the Nissan showroom, we may have to put them on the UT game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be on the SEC network. No, it's on ESPN, I think, as a matter of fact, today. And, yeah, they just played Florida this past Sunday, beat them pretty good. So let's see if they can do it twice in a row here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got a couple things on my mind today that I think are important to talk about. And it's pretty serious to me. I see a lot of young drivers come through the dealership and buy the wrong cars, you know, for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parents are looking for something cheap, and I totally get that, something that is affordable. I encourage parents to always think safety first. You know, the larger the car, the better. The later the model, the better, because of the improvements that have happened in airbags and seat belts and crashworthiness and stuff. Always check the IHHS ratings before you buy somebody a car. You want to know, you know, how survivable, you know, how many stars they have and stuff like that for different types of impact. A lot of accidents that you see, Tim, are, for young drivers, are single car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
My first car wreck, I was driving a 1974 Chevy Nova SS. Had a big 350 V8 four-barrel carburetor. You could sit there and just smoke the tires on that thing. And I had been in Kingsport at a concert with my girlfriend, who's my wife now. And I dropped her off at the house, and I was driving. I had about a 10-mile ride from her house to my house. And I was driving too fast, and I lost control around a curve. Of course, back then, I didn't have radial tires on the car. So if I'd had radials, I probably wouldn't have spun out. But I was going too fast, overcorrected. And that beautiful new 74 Nova had a dent on every corner. I knew I was in trouble when I got out of the car. It was dark, but there was a full moon, and I could see pretty good. And I knew I was in trouble when I walked out and looked at the front end first on the left side, and I could not see the wheel on the car, the driver's wheel. It had hit so hard, it had bent the wheel and the control arms and stuff and the front suspension and tucked it up underneath the engine. Not good.
No.
I was a mile from the house, and I ran all the way home. My parents were in Europe at the time on a trip. So the point is that I wasn't probably prepared, you know, to drive a car like that fast, especially at night when I was sleepy. And I had the amazing coach Herb Hawks as my driver's ed coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember Herb, don't you? He was my basketball coach at Greenville High School.
Yeah.
And he was also the driver's ed teacher. I didn't learn how to drive from Coach Hawks. I learned, you know, about how to merge and how to turn on the turn signal and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to drive from my big brother, and that was too fast because I watched him, you know, flying around those curves at the going to school and stuff like that. And so I'm encouraging parents to don't go that route. Get your kid, if you can afford it, get your kid involved in a driver's education program. I'm not talking about it. Really, driver's education, defensive driving course, you know, those are poorly named. It really is more about proactive driving, learning certain skills. One of the best schools is Bondurant.com. Bob Bondurant, Bondurant, was a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he was part of the 1-2-3 finish of the Ford GT at Le Mans in 1966. Mm-hmm. Bob Bondurant has a high-performance driving school. He'll teach anybody from a rookie, first-time driver to a race car driver and teach them how to be better. Bondurant, to give you an idea of cost, they have a one-day program. It's $900. A two-day program is $1,700, and a three-day is $2,300. They build skills, Tim.
Uh-huh.
They put you in situations in a real car that you will probably only face if you are, you know, in the verge of losing control of a car. They call it active driving, understanding car control and awareness. It's all about safety. It's all about avoiding accidents. And you say, well, Lenny, I thought you said all these new Nissans and stuff have all these collision avoidance stuff. And, yeah, they do. They certainly do, and they will intervene in certain types of things, like when you're pulling out of a parking place, or you fail to stop for a car that's ahead of you. Yeah, it'll slam the brakes on and won't hit the car in front of you. That's great. But if you're going down a road and you start to lose control, or you go off the edge of a road and you overcorrect, you need to go off the berm, and so many accidents happen that way. My daughter Audra totaled a Volkswagen Jetta by doing that very thing, going down a hill, sweeping left-hand turn. The road dropped off to the right, and her right front wheel went off the road. What did she do? She jerks the steering wheel over and puts the car into an uncontrollable spin and takes out a fence post and a couple cherry trees. And, you know, she was surrounded with airbags. I mean, there was one drop of blood. I remember looking in that car, and I just broke down when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just thinking my baby was in that car. But thank goodness, you know, it had all those airbags and that she had her seatbelt on. You know, seatbelt usage is another thing. I ride around with a lot of people, and when I'm selling cars or when I'm, you know, in a service situation or riding with an employee. I've got an employee right now, and he just listens to the beeper go off all the time. I said, "Are you going to put your seatbelt on?" He said, "No, I don't really wear seatbelts." I said, "Well, as long as I'm in this car and you're driving, you're wearing your seatbelt. Put it on." Because I didn't want to listen to the ding, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing they'll do is they'll take the seatbelt and they'll buckle it behind them, you know, so that the seatbelt buzzer won't go off.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that people shouldn't do is they take the shoulder strap and they stick it underneath their arm, you know, because it bothers their neck or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason, you know, for all of these safety technologies, and some of them will save you. But if you don't know how to drive in the first place, if you don't know how anti-lock brakes work and feel, you know, in a panic stop situation, you know, if you don't know how to recover from a spin, and not just on ice, you know, and speaking of, and driving in bad weather, if you don't know how to handle a car in bad weather, you know, I see a lot of young guys drive way too fast, and girls, because they have four-wheel drive, and there's snow on the ground, and, oh, they're just, you know, they've got all this power and authority because they're not slipping and sliding.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that end up in a ditch, and they're wondering what happened to their vehicle. My son had a couple wrecks where overdriving on a lifted vehicle, you know, is something that, like one of them was a Tahoe and the other was a Blazer, and both of them had been lifted, which changes the physics of the vehicle, raises the center of gravity, affects the you know, handling and just so many different things. You put wider tires and stuff like that. Nothing works the way it's designed to at the factory. All of that engineering goes out the window when you start doing all these modifications. And both of his accidents were single car accidents involved in car control. And you know, these are things that kids need to learn. So Bob Bondurant, High Performance Driving School, you can check it out online. Skip Barber is another name. The state of Michigan has a tremendous driving school that they offer to their citizens that live up there. But, you know, like I say, they call them hands-on defensive driving courses, but they're really about proactive driving and learning how to anticipate problems before they become them. You know, Tim, one of the things that they also teach is where your eyes should be when you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that I learned is that you never just look right in front of your car, and you don't look even close to your car. Your eyes are supposed to follow the road and look way ahead of where you are, because this guy taught me one time at a driving school, he said, "Lenny, you've already seen the road right in front of you. You look down the road, and you look at what's, you know, maybe even 8-10 car lengths ahead. Especially when you're going around curves, your eyes should already be on the other side of the curve because you've already seen the part, and your eyes and your peripheral vision can still see it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to look right in front of you. That's how you end up running into something that pulls out in front of you didn't really anticipate it." So that was a valuable lesson to me, and that's the kind of stuff that you can learn at these types of classes. I was looking for some of the other names of some of these courses. Where was that? Okay, well, Skip Barber, Bob Bondurant. There's a program in North Carolina that started in 2008. They have graduated over 35,000 young drivers from their classes. This year, the program is scheduled to visit 40 courses in 11 states. And it's called BRAKES, B-R-A-K-E-S, and that stands for Be Responsible and Keep Everyone Safe. So there's just something for you to think about if you've got a young driver or maybe a grandchild or a neighbor's kid or something. That, you know, that would be a good thing for you to do if you've got plenty of excess money, you can kill it in the stock market or something like that, and you want to do something, put a scholarship out there for a young driver.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great thing to do. Hook up with your youth group at church. and see if anybody would be interested, any of the parents would be interested in doing something. I mean, you can save lives doing that and probably make driving on these roads a lot safer for everybody else. But we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute.
And back here on My Car Guru for this Friday morning, you know, talking about driving and looking ahead and that kind of thing. I think I've been a pretty defensive driver. I've developed that way over the last many years, Lenny. And one thing I found is I try to anticipate. Like if I'm going down the road and I look ahead of me and I see somebody pull up to a stop sign or whatever, I really watch for them to pull out in front of me. And I kind of watch their wheels. If their wheels are moving, the front wheels are still moving a little bit, I think that's kind of a giveaway that they're thinking about pulling out in front of you.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not supposed to look at the front of the car or the side of the car, because the first indication that that car is, the easiest thing to see is that wheel starting to rotate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people just don't think about, is what could happen when you see somebody that pulls up and you're hurtling down a two-lane road at, you know, 45 miles an hour, and who knows what they're thinking, what they're going through, whether they're looking at their phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones have dramatically increased the potential hazards, you know, on the road because of all the distractions. You can usually tell when somebody's on their phone because they're swerving, you know. They're just weaving, bouncing between lanes as they're mm-hmm. looking at the phones. I thought it was illegal to use your phone, or at least a handheld phone, in your car in Tennessee. I thought they passed a law, I think. Aren't people paying attention?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a hands-free device, but just because something's illegal as far as a driving violation doesn't mean that people don't still do it, you know?
Yeah. You know, another thing that I always do, Tim, is if the light turns green, I'm looking left and right still.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't trust the light, especially if I'm at the very front, because they're the ones that get nailed by the guy that, you know, he says, I can beat this light,
mm-hmm.
or just not paying attention and runs the red light. How many T-bone accidents happen because of that? My daughter Abby lost a very good friend, young guy, you know, in his, just right after college. I think he was 22, 23. And he got T-boned in an intersection by an 80-plus-year-old lady who ran a red light. And he had his dog in a car. The dog survived and he died. And it's, you just have to pay attention to those things, and you have to educate your kids on that. I wish all cars were manual transmissions. I think that automatics kind of get people complacent sometimes. And, you know, you're more involved in driving when you're driving a manual transmission. Maybe that's a, you know, not a true statement, but it just seems that way to me. I was leaving the house today and I was thinking, you know, what would it be like if I didn't have a cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
How would my life be different? You know, those of us that are, well, I don't know what particular age, but those of us who existed before cell phones understood that, you know, when you left the house, I mean, nobody's going to be able to get you. I mean, if somebody wanted to leave you a message, they call the house or they call the dealership or, you know, call your business or wherever you work. We didn't have to be in constant communication.
Mm-hmm.
I bet my cell phone went off like 5 times between my house and work, you know, with text messages that I was getting. And I just decided I wanted to look at them. It's so easy. See, now I've got Apple CarPlay on my vehicle that I was driving, and so the message, when I get a message, that pops up, and it just shows me that I just got a message. And so I don't know if it's any less distracting that it's on my phone or on the screen on my dash.
Yeah.
So they're going to get you one way or another, aren't they, Tim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, the other day I had a guy come up, and he's a really good friend of mine. I sold him a Shelby GT350 couple months ago, and he was bringing another friend who is a car guy, and he was a car racing teacher. His name's Ken Martin, just a wonderful guy. He's a nurse anesthetist. He's retired from that, and he's been battling cancer, and but just a wonderful guy, and he's doing well now. And they were just riding around, and they just wanted to come over and visit me and go through the new showroom and stuff. They were sorry that they weren't able to make it to the grand opening, and I said, no apology necessary. So I said, would you guys like to drive the Mach-E? And you know, it was like he ran to it and wanted to get in that car and experience the electric car. They came back, and he said, the guy that was driving said, I want to buy this car. I said, well, I'll sell it to you. He said, I want to buy it now. I said, you can't buy it now. This is one of those deals where Ford makes us keep this thing for either 4 months or 4,000 miles, whichever comes first, and then I could sell it to you. He said, well, just call me. Call me when you hit 4,000 miles because I want it. And I said, do you need any more information about it? No. He just drove it and loved it. You know, I don't even know. Of course, he's a car guy, and he's been studying it. But now General Motors has just come out with something that's kind of exciting on electric vehicles. It's not available yet, folks, so don't go down to your local GM dealer and try to buy an electric car with 600 miles of range. But they are working on these lithium-metal batteries. Now, not lithium-ion is what we have in the cars now, but this is called a lithium-metal battery, and it could achieve 600 miles. Now, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that General Motors is saying that the new 22 GMC Hummer EV, this is their Hummer pickup, it's going to be a full-size electric vehicle, that it will have about 450 miles of range. Now, this Mustang Mach-E out here has 270 miles of range, but I think you can get over 300. It has been tested at that. But the 2023 Cadillac Lyriq, which is a midsize SUV, is going to be a vehicle that's going to, they're saying, will be able to get 600 miles because of this new technology. So, you know, that's going to put it in the real world for people who want to be able to, for example, charge up at their house and make it all the way to the beach. You know, it's not near 600 miles to get to Hilton Head, so I should be good. That's almost, is that Florida? Is the Florida border, what is that, about 450, 500 miles, something like that?
The Florida border.
I've been to Florida a long time.
The Florida border is probably between 350 to 4, I imagine, somewhere around there.
Okay, so you might be able to get to Orlando.
Yeah.
One charge.
Yeah.
But lithium metal, GM is hooked up with a company called SES. They're a leader in that particular technology and battery management software. So much of this range issue, Tim, is driven not only by the capacity of the battery, but how that energy is used by the car and being able to conserve energy without just relying on the driver to back off the pedal. So much of these decisions are going to be made using artificial intelligence. That's kind of scary. I don't know. I saw that movie, AI,
mm-hmm.
and ever since I saw that, I've been suspicious of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid they're going to take over. It'd be like Terminator, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't want to scare anybody today. Well, let's take our last break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Back here to wrap up My Car Guru for this Friday. I was just looking at an app on my phone of a map, and I guess a little bit farther than I thought to the, according to this, going down 95 to the state border of Florida, it says it's 476 miles from here.
476?
Yeah, a little bit farther than I thought it was to the state line, but still.
You were pretty close. You only missed about 26 miles.
Yeah, something like that. But
it's very
accurate. A little bit. You're
farther. Selling yourself short.
I've just been to Florida many times, so that's part
of
it.
Well, we're not going to be in Florida tomorrow or this afternoon. We're going to be right here at Gateway. And love still for my radio show listeners to come down and let's meet. Oh, I had a customer come in the other day. You know, I bought this 280Z from a wonderful couple up in Kingsport. Just love them to death and so grateful that they gave me the opportunity to do it. And it is not for sale. I'm keeping it. But anyway, another lady came in yesterday and said, hey, Mr. Lawson, would you be interested in a 1978 280Z? I said, another one?
There's another one?
Another one? You know, so she said, what do you mean? I said, no, it's just, there's one sitting out there. And yes, I would be interested. What do you have? So she was telling me about it. So hopefully sometime in the next hour or so, I'm going to go out there and look at that car. This one is not in good shape. It's not like pristine or anything, but we'll see. You know, the problem with cars like that is while they're really cool cars, they were not rare.
Yeah.
And so if you buy one, I mean, if you buy a 240Z, for example, 1970 model, and you can restore it, let's say you can buy it for $10,000 and it costs you $30,000 to restore it, you've got $40,000 in it, you can still sell it and make money. But if you buy a 280Z, you know, for the same amount of money and then spend $30,000, you're going to lose your rear end because the 280 was not as rare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just knowing the market and knowing what you can do with it. If I can ever help anybody or something like that, I'm glad to talk to you about it. But if you want to come down and enjoy our grand opening and see the showroom and drive some really cool cars, we're selling a lot of the Nissan Rogues. There's been a run on those. And having a really good, I can't thank folks enough for coming down and doing business with us. It's quite the honor to be able to see that kind of response, and I'm very grateful. Also, on the Ford side, we're a little low on inventory, but we still have a lot of F-150s and stuff out here. And I'll be here tomorrow, so just give me a call on my cell phone if you need me, 552-2020. I'm always available.
552-2020. By the way, I appreciate the personal tour you gave me yesterday of the new digs. I enjoyed that. Very beautiful.
Good. Good to see you, Tim. You can come down anytime, as long as you bring Christina with you.
Yes, I was sans Christina yesterday, but I'll try to include her more from now on.
Sans Christina. People don't really know what that means. That's French. That means without, right?
I was without her yesterday, but anyway.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Lenny, we appreciate it. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.